Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
Gaetano Jones.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, howdy, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, February 1st. I can't believe it's February already. And standing up on the soapbox with me today is my co-host. Everyone, please welcome Gaetano Jones. Gaetano, how you doing, man?
Well, you know, considering all things, I'm alive and breathing and unfortunately paying attention to everything.
But I'm doing great. It's all expected in today's world, I'm telling you. Just that you were able to get out of bed is a good on you right there, man.
Ooh, sometimes that's harder than normal, but yeah, we do it, right?
Crazy stuff. Well, I'm so excited to have
like
you back on.
Yeah,
we
I feel like we're in
talked to you last time about all this acting and singing and all the great stuff you've been part of, and we're hopefully going to see you in that capacity again. But you just kind of got through your busy season with those two young girls. I'm sure Christmas was a busy time. Is it slowing down a bit?
It is. You know, it's funny because I also started a blog back in the fall called Daddy Ohm. I don't know if you knew about that, but daddyohm.com. And I started writing blogs about, you know, just anecdotes and funny stories about parenting. And then the election happened and then Christmas happened. And I was like, I haven't written anything, so I'm getting back into that. So you'll expect some blog posts from me on that in the future, and I will throw in some of my political feelings, or not so much to be political, but my concerns on the political atmosphere, because it's
right.
I'm not going to make it just all happy, funny stories. We have to talk about reality, because it is about raising children in today's climate. So I've been working on that, and still working on this album that's kind of been in my head for a while, that's been taking on new meanings, and that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Nice. Well, I'm excited to have you back on. We're going to jump into a little bit of LGBT news. We got some lot of politics to talk about. Get a little bit of pop culture on the end there. I know you got a skedoodle to pick up those two lovely girls' ears about 45 minutes in, so let's jump into it. Now, this is a call-in show, listeners out there. I see a couple of you on there. I see Jeff over in San Diego, and I don't recognize any other one else in there. But don't be afraid to call in and talk with us. It's 347-989-0126. If you're listening live, that's, again, we are Wednesday, just to make sure you know, at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern for an hour. So give us a call. You can join in on what Gaetano and I talk about, or if you have a topic of your own you'd like to discuss, more than welcome to call in. But let's dive right into it. Let's start with a little bit of LGBT news, and then we'll get into the politics, and I'll finish up with pop culture later on. First thing I want to talk about is, I mentioned briefly on the show the other day, the Boy Scouts of America have decided to allow transgender boys into the clubs, which sounds like a no-brainer, right? But as we know, the Boy Scouts have been a little slow in coming into LGBT rights.
Slightly slow, yeah, just a little bit. Just, yeah.
Just a little behind times. And as
right,
long
and then,
as it's,
but,
go ahead.
But then they take this major leap forward, right? Like it's took forever, and then out of nowhere this came. I mean, I don't know if this has been brewing for a while, but when I read the headline, I was like, what's going on? So we have regressiveness happening in the powers that be in Washington, and this great move forward from an organization that's not known for having great moves forward.
Exactly. It was almost a year ago, I think, that they allowed gay boys to be in. They still don't allow gay leaders, which is kind of weird that it went from allowing gay young men to go last year to not hearing anything for almost a year. And then, like you said, all of a sudden get a whiplash move. It's like, well, transgender, as long as your parents say you're a boy on it, we'll let you on in. It's like, whoa, and we still haven't addressed the gay leadership yet, which is really strange to me that you still can't be a leader in the Boy Scouts. That's just strange.
That is, isn't that the headache we've always, we're still demons, I guess, right? I don't know how can we change that mind and that thought process? I have no idea where, you know, it's growing up, you know, I will throw this in, you know, growing up as a gay boy and a gay man, you're constantly thrown out there that you're the demon, that you're a bad person, and here they're still upholding that part. So they're making these leaps forward, but then still holding on to this very negative, you know, image portrayal. That's how they relating that to the scouts themselves.
Well, it's sex. Okay, they can't get around the sex. They only equate.
Right.
The biggest problem in all areas where people are against the LGBT community has to do with sex. They can't get that image out of their mind. Forget the 99.9% other things we do, and 99.99% when you're in a relationship and sex has gone away. But it's like that's all they think about. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And yet, you know, the heterosexual sex is thrown into our face from the, you know, every consistently all the time and never ends.
Oh God, we had car show season. I'm near Detroit here, and Northeast Ohio, we have a huge Chevrolet manufacturing. We do the Lordstown, Ohio, which is like 20 miles from me, does a Chevy Cruze. We're the only one in America that does a Chevy Cruze. So we're a huge auto place here, and the auto shows are huge, and you can't see nothing but bikini-clad women all over this place every end of the year, first of the year, for all the car shows going on. But
those women are practically having sex with the cars. It's kind of disgusting, but that's okay.
Exactly.
Right? Like that's the view of the powers that be. That's okay.
I mean, I've told the story before on air when I first started out. One of my first jobs when I got out of high school is I worked for the YMCA because I was a huge camper with the YMCA. From the time I was 8 years old, I was 13 years old. I went camping every summer at the YMCA out to Catalina Island and up in the Big Bear Mountains and just all over the place. And so when I was 15, I started being a camp counselor and director. I was a camp director by the time I was 17 in high school. Then I got a job right out of high school with the YMCA as the swimming director because I was all lifeguard certified and I took swimming lessons and I was able to teach classes. But I was so scared I couldn't come out at that time because I'm holding up little boys by their stomach across the pool, and I was also in charge of the Indian guys, which was the kind of YMCA Boy Scouts, the camping outfit, with bringing all these guys and their parents out there. And it was for a while. It was hard to be – it put me more in the closet than I really wanted to be at that time. It was not fun, I have to say.
Huh. Yeah,
let's
throw this out here that a friend of mine is a teacher for the Santa Monica Malibu Unified School District, and she had told me that they are actually having an out handbook, and they're allowing out teachers to wear badges on campus that say that they're out, so the LGBT youth can feel safe or have someone to talk to, know that they have a role model in which they can speak to, which. It like brought tears in my eyes when she told me about that. I couldn't, you know, I was like, wow, how great. That's amazing.
I 90% love that, and I 10% think it's like a scarlet letter just in the back of my mind. It's like, why do we have to be singled out to wear a badge that shows the world to be team? the idea behind it, I'm 100% behind. But yeah,
I think it shows, yes, I can see your point about the scarlet letter, but I also think that shows that someone is out and willing to wear it. You know, it's by choice. It's not the school district saying, you have to wear this badge.
Exactly.
You know, it's if you would like to promote your outness to, you know, to open conversations and to open up the dialogue and hopefully make kids feel safe that even if they're not, you know, they are not able or willing or of mind yet to come to terms with who they are, know that there are just positive role models out there, I think is amazing. But, you know, yeah, it'd be one thing if it was and you have to wear this.
You have to wear your LGBT badge. So people can
identify. I don't think it's
like
a pink triangle back in the Nazi era, but.
Right. Yeah, actually, I have a good friend, Brian, who is a counselor at our university here, at Youngstown State University. And he, along with our Gay Straight Alliance there, have really put together a fantastic safe zone program in school where they have all the classrooms kept put safe zone stickers in their window if there's a safe place to go to for professors and things like that to talk about. And a lot of not only LGBT, but a lot of the straight professors have those in their windows. And it's really kind of a cool program they put together. So, yeah, that brings a lot of heart.
That is nice.
Well, let's go into movies a bit. I mean, Sundance Film Festival was just this past week here. Have you ever gone to Sundance?
I actually have not been to the film festival itself. I've been up there many times. I have friends that live up there, but I have not been up to the festival.
I have not either. I've wanted to go before. I've gone to the Toronto Film Festival. I had a friend last year that went to the Sundance Festival. There was a movie playing that was based on his book. He's a local author here. His name's Chris Barzak. And he wrote a book called One for the Sorrow that was turned into the movie. I don't know if you ever even saw it, but it's called Jamie Marks is Dead, about this LGBT ghost and this guy. It's a crazy movie. He got to go to Sundance for it. It's actually pretty well received in Sundance. But they got quite a few LGBT movies there. Have you heard any of the buzz on those?
Well, I've heard about these two that the oh, don't tell me what the I'm so out of, you know, I still have child brain all the time. But the one with Armie Hammer, Call Me By Your Name,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about it. I've seen trailers for it, and I've read what the novel was about. I haven't read the novel, but now I'm very intrigued to. It looks like a beautiful movie from the trailer, and the storyline itself, you know, kind of touches, you know, to my own youth, you know, of just that coming to terms with who you are. I mean, from the description of the book, I didn't have that experience, mind you, but, you know, the yearning feelings, yes, I can remember.
Right, and I've seen the preview then too, and this is a very generic preview, and it looks really cool, but I guess from the buzz about Sundance was it's pretty sexy. I mean, there's some chemistry between the two stars, like you said, Armie Hammer, and I guess the guy's name is Timothy Chalamet that plays, I think he's like a 17-year-old boy in this. And I guess the chemistry is like smoking hot and supposed to be some pretty explicit scenes, which you might know a little bit about walking around with your bum exposed every three-day weekend.
That was 100 years ago in my youth. It was a different time.
It is a time.
Okay? It was a different time.
It's still a hot cushy.
No, it was a different time, you know.
I wish I could see you turning pink over the phone. That'd be so much fun.
Oh, jeez. Calm down over there.
Armie Hammer, though, was very cool. He played gay once before. He was in that film J. Edgar with Leo DiCaprio playing J. Edgar Hoover. I think it was like what was his character's name? Clyde Tolson. And they were kind of like rumored lovers of JFK's J. Edgar Hoover. Supposedly he was a trans liked to cross dress and was gay. And there's a funny story. I remember at the time that Armie Archer was I think he had an interview with Advocate or one of those gay magazines. And said that while they were filming it, he kind of asked the director at the time, he says, so do you think maybe these two were together as a couple and we should play them? He says, well, I'm not sure, probably not. And he said he went to Leo DiCaprio. What do you think? Do you think they were ever together? Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure, probably not. And Armie says, well, I think they were definitely doing it. And he's just like, way cool. So I love Armie here,
nice.
No matter what he does. So it's kind of fun.
Nice.
Then nice. The other one, what was the other one you were talking about?
The English one, that's getting all the buzz,
God's
too.
Oh, God's Own Country,
That one looks quite good as well. I was going to say, mention too, though, the Call Me By Your Name. Isn't James Ivory, is that the one James Ivory is involved with? Like, isn't that like Merchant Ivory?
I think it is one of those productions. I can remember watching Maurice in my youth
and, you know, saying, that's what I like.
Right. Oh, that was a great joke. God, I forgot about Maurice. That was one of my earlier shows. I think My Beautiful Laundrette, Maurice, all those early on. I remember those now.
Yeah, and so well done too. You know, but he, you know, he did that in A Room with a View, right? So like it was all these great period, beautiful films.
Yes, so true. Yeah, this God's
but
Own
the
Country.
One I don't know much about, but I've heard it's getting a lot of buzz. Kind of like
it's
no
kind
names
of being
in
called
it.
The British Brokeback Mountain. I guess it's kind of very similar, where instead of raising or herding sheep or cattle along, they're doing something with sheep. They're herding sheep around.
Yeah, he's
somewhere.
Like a shepherd or something. Yeah, and I think I could be wrong, so don't sue me. But I think isn't it like he's taking care of the farm. They have to hire a migrant worker or something like that, and the.
Right, this guy's like a Romanian worker or something like that, I think. I think you're right.
Right, and then they develop some sort of relationship. So I'm interested to see it. You know, honestly, I've read about it, but I have yet to see a trailer or any kind of video for it.
I haven't either.
I keep getting it
won like a Best Director Award, so I looked it up just to look who the stars were, and the stars are pretty cute. I didn't look who the director was who won the damn award, but I looked at the stars real quick, and they're pretty handsome men. But yeah, it looks like it's
fun. Of course you did. You do your part.
Exactly. I do what I must. I do what I must. That's for sure. now, kind of along, there's lots of good Sundance things. I hope everyone will check it out. So if you go to the Sundance website, I think there's like 5 or 6 LGBT shows that went through, but those two really got all the buzz for the week. And then we have our own little LGBT miniseries coming to ABC next month. Have you heard about Dustin Lance Black's project?
No.
I am looking
I'm horrible.
Prime
I feel like if it's
TV.
Not on Disney Junior or Nickelodeon, or if it's not an animation, I know nothing anymore. I'm a horrible gay. I'm sorry.
Well, believe it or not, ABC, who is Disney owned now, of course, ABC is giving us prime time, my friend. Dustin Lance Black, of course, who directed Milk and wrote Milk and everything. Gus Van Sant directed, he wrote Milk. But Dustin wrote this miniseries. It's called When We Rise. It's a 8-hour, 4-day miniseries all about the LGBT movement from the beginning to where it is now. It's supposed to be a fantastic piece of film work. But it's going to be on.
Nice.
I think it was supposed to start at the end of February and run for 4 consecutive days. But, of course, Donald Trump being Donald Trump, he decided to put one of his press conferences in the middle of it, so it's going to split it up so it can't be 4 days in a row. So they're looking to see what they can do to change that around. But it's going to be on ABC television, which is just amazing to me. We're going to be in prime time. I'm really looking forward
nice.
To that.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
It's going to be very cool. And then I guess the last thing we'll kind of transition here from LGBT news into politics. There's been a lot of controversy last week. In fact, there was like a lot of people reporting Monday and Tuesday that Trump was getting ready to sign a new executive order that was going to diminish a lot of the LGBT protections that President Obama put in. And so they finally came out yesterday with a clarified statement saying he is not going to roll back any of the federal protections Obama put in for federal workers. So you can't be fired on the basis of be gay or transgender or anything like that. But they didn't go far to saying they're not
the federal.
It's only for federal, right.
Which,
and
yeah,
he made a big show yesterday
great,
that he's the best friend to the gays. It was crazy.
Yeah. He's the best friend of Frederick Douglass, too. Did you hear that press conference today?
No. Who's that?
Oh, child. You need to go online and read that transcript for his press conference on Black History Month. Oh, I think he thinks Frederick
crazy
Douglass
stuff,
is a reality
huh?
star. I think thinks he's a reality star on like Housewives of Atlanta or something like that. I don't think he knows who Frederick Douglass is. And then Sean Spicer had a press conference afterwards where they asked him about Frederick Douglass, and he was just blank faced. He has no idea who he is. Trump said something like, oh, Frederick Douglass is, I'm just learning, he's done great things for our country, a great man. But he spoke about Frederick Douglass as if he was like present in the present times, or at least in modern times, like 100 plus years ago times. And
oh, God.
They, they asked Sean Spicer in a press briefing about what things did Donald Trump think Frederick Douglass did that was so great, and Spicer said something like, oh, well, in the next few days, we'll know what he said about Douglass and all the great things and things he said. We'll know because it'll come apparent, and Trump will let us know what he thought. And I was like, what are we coming into? But to go back onto, you know, LGBT, you know, there's, it's like this, I've seen a lot of people on Facebook, you know, kind of praise it or take the bone of, well, there's a silver lining here, protections for gays. I'm like, no, it's protections for federal workers.
Right.
You know, he's going to keep
those. And just
not
undoing
an
Obama executive order. It's already been there for a couple of years.
It's
not like
he decided
to do it.
It's a smoke and mirrors. It's like, I'll give you that, and you'll be happy. You know, the thing with Donald Trump and the GOP and his whole cabinet is we really have to be vigilant on these smoke and mirrors that they're just going to – it's just going to keep throwing up these things, and we can't be that little fish that says happy, shiny things and goes to it because they know what they're doing. And they know if they throw this little bone, this little crumb, they can take the rest of the loaf away from us. And we're all going to be feeding on these little crumbs, and we got to remind ourselves, we're not that hungry. Stop feeding on it. We've been full before. We need to just keep vigilant and fight them because, you know, there's going to be an executive order on religious freedom, and that's going to undo every – you know, they're going to undo all of the gay marriage and gay rights by not getting rid of the rights, but just the same as they've done to abortion. Abortion is not legal in this country. You have no access to it. Okay, it's legal, but if you can't access it, it doesn't exist. And there are how many states in this country that have no clinics or one clinic and a doctor has to be flown in, you know, so – and then so many restrictions. So it's just going to be that same. Oh, yeah, you're gay married. But no, you can't get a cake made here. They're allowed to say no. You can be, as we know, we can still get fired and not get apartments. We have no protections in a lot of places. And they're just going to strengthen that. That's their agenda and that's their plan. So let's not be happy about the federal workplace. That's, oh, great. Don't even say thank you. We've got to keep our eyes open on the bigger picture because they are going to strip us. And I had wrote something on Facebook, and I think it was last night, or I don't remember what I wrote. I write a lot these days, and I can't keep quiet. But someone had posted that. I said, you know, we have to remember what's going on. And what this election really did teach me or made me aware of is that we're all in this together. And as a minority group, we can't be happy for ourselves if something happens.
Right.
It's favorable for us because, you know, it's like in the Nazi era, you know, who did they come after first? And eventually they come after everyone, but we can't be exhale and relax. Oh, it's not us, it's just them. We have to get rid of the them. And I feel like when Trump won, I had this huge epiphany of like, I am black, I am Muslim, I am a lesbian, I am all of these things. I am all of that that has been hated.
Well
said.
And if
we can find the commonality in our groups versus talking about the other, which is, or I'm not them, they're not like us. You know, black people's problems aren't gay people's problems. Muslim people's problems aren't women's problems. And I think for a lot of us, we've felt that way. But this election, it just cemented itself into me. And I had this epiphany of like, I'm not going to even engage in conversations about minorities and explaining how other people should live their lives using my life as the filter and the way I judge people.
Right. Very well said. All right, well, let's take that. We're going to transition into mainstream politics. There's so much to talk about, Supreme Court and immigration. Let's take a quick break, though, so Gaetano and I can practice our deep breathing exercises and pop another Valium. We're going to play a little bit of Sam Harris, My Reclamation, talking about him taking back his gay rights and gay freedoms for himself. When we come back, Gaetano and I are going to talk all about what's happening in politics. If you're listening to Standing on My Soapbox right here on Blog Talk Radio, here's little Sam Harris. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
When the river is too wide to cross, and the water is raging too fast, when we see the destination but cannot make our way, we will build a bridge of brotherhood and cross the river at last. When the air is cold and black with hate, and the fog of condemnation burns our eyes, when the shadows of oppression keep us hidden from the sun, you can climb upon my shoulders until we reach the skies. For it is not enough to want it, need it, and deserving doesn't make it true. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Take a stand, demand justice over you. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you, what choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. I am weary of hostility, and I am saddened by the ugliness of fear. I'm confounded by morality that builds a bitter wall, but I will bear my heart to you so all the world will hear that it is not enough to want and need it, just to forward and to lead. I believe hate fails and love prevails. Rejoice the choice, take our voices to the street. Singing, no one can take what is not theirs to give. No one can break you or choose how you live. And I don't need permission to have what is mine. This is my reclamation.
We are back. That was Sam Harris with My Reclamation. Sam's play that he turned into a movie, Ham, is coming out very soon. We're going to have him back to talk about that. I'm so excited today to have my good friend, actor and singer Gaetano Jones on, standing on my soapbox with me. We are getting ready to delve into politics. If you want to join the conversation or have a topic of your own to bring, give us a call. It's 347-989-0126 if you're joining us live this Wednesday afternoon. And let's delve into Paul. Are you ready for this, Gaetano? Did you take a Valium during the break?
I took a Valium. I'm sitting crisscross applesauce on my couch, ready to just, you know, have at it. I'm biting at the bit.
What do you want to jump into? You want to jump into Supreme Court? You want to jump into immigration? You want to jump into Women's March? Let's start with Women's March, because that was actually passed last week. But I was so proud you took your daughters to that. Tell me about that experience.
I did. I I'm a strong believer in peaceful protesting. And when I found out the march was going on, I said, of course I'm taking. I had some other parents' friends that they're like, no, you know, it's a bit much, and I totally respect that. But let me just throw this. I remember being in college and meeting all new types of people, and
right.
there would be some people there that grew up in very liberal homes. I did not grow up in a liberal home. And they would tell me these kind of like horror stories, like not horror, but like dreaded stories of how their parents would drag them to like McGovern marches and all these different rallies that their parents would take them to. And they remember sleeping in their coat, you know, in their mother's coat on the lawn and listening to all the chanting. And I just remember like that. I want to be that parent. That sounds amazing.
Right.
And I have kids, and I am that parent. And we went, and in L.A. they expected 60,000 to 90,000 people. They said over 700,000 showed up, which it was. I was there in the thick, and it was as far as the eye can see down every street. And it was so peaceful and loving, and my kids just like, you know, they had like this. Their eyes were wide open. They were a little scared at first with all these people, but just then everyone was just so kind
right.
and gentle. It was like, it was great. And then we went to Grand Park to overlook as much as we could overlook with all the people. And I was like, I just want to soak this in. And my kids found four other kids to play with out of the, like, strangers. And they were just having a good old time running through trees and bushes. And
oh, that's
so,
great.
It was a great time, and my youngest is, she's got a little bit of a potty mouth on her, and I don't know where she gets it from, but I'm trying to work on it with her, and she was excited. I said, today's the day you can use all your bad words, and you're not going to get in trouble as long as they're directed towards Donald Trump. She's like,
oh,
really?
That's funny.
She's four.
That
I go,
is
yeah.
funny.
She's like, all right. So... and we saw some, you know, we saw a lot of families there and people of all types, and we got to do our chants. And all since then, every day at some point into the day, they break out into a hey, hey, ho, ho, Donald Trump has got to go. And yeah, I get a little teary eyed. Like, that's my daughters, and they see pictures of, you know, they see pictures of all of them, and they're like, who are those evil people? And I'm like, yep, I'm not gonna. You know, I've had some people, you know, there are these people that you still hear them on, like, shows like The View and other news shows that are still trying to give legitimacy to that man. I have a hard
right.
time saying his name to Trump
I
and
hear
his you. Cabinet. And just doing the pundit game of, well, we've got to respect, or we've got to do this. And, you know, it's no different than, like, when Obama was president. I'm like, no. It is, and I'm not playing that game at all. I'm not playing that legitimacy game. I'm not talking about the sanctity of the President of the United States, because we have a man in there who could care two shits about being the sanctity of the office and
right.
the importance and the honor of it. So I'm not being some partisan hack, because he himself is not really partisan. He's narcissistic. He's only got his interests, or who's ever complimenting him most recently, interests.
Exactly.
You know, it's very scary. And I just, you know, as we keep talking about President Trump, it seems like Bannon is the one really running the show here, people. And that's
yeah.
really scary.
Yeah. I read something today.
He had a great time.
I think Bannon, I read something today that Bannon and Trump's son-in-law, that Jared, whatever his name is, Kushner
yeah.
or something like that,
Kushner, yeah.
have kind of started their own little thing called a strategic initiative group that's like meeting separately behind closed doors of everyone to kind of inform all the other political people how to do things, which is really scary that we have this very hard right-liner and son-in-law that has no political experience trying to dictate all this policy. Just scary as hell. But
and then
I just
go back to what I was saying earlier about Smoke and Mirrors is you've got Kushner, who is, you know, an Orthodox Jew, and everyone's like, well, that gives him, he's a Jew, so it's not anti-Semitic. I'm like, do you know how many Jews supported the, made money off the Holocaust? I mean, there were people that played the game so they could get ahead. It's
right.
Not people, people who are being, Roy Kahn, talk about, or other current gay politicians closeted that do everything against their own interest to keep their own power. They don't care about their community or group. They're just caring about their own power. It's not even survival. It's about power. So,
no, that's not true.
I look at Kushner and I'm like, so? It's just like saying all gay men have great sex. I went to an interior decorator. He's gay, so obviously he's going to do good. Have you been to a lot of gay men's houses? Not all of them are pretty,
That's for dang sure.
The column coffee table went out in the late 80s, kids. Stop trying to bring that back. You know what I mean?
So, Blacker is still in. No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. And brass shower fittings. No. So.
Oh, I love that. Well, I just am so proud of you for taking the girls to be part of this. And I really think it's something that's going to take root. I mean, that was kind of a planned event. They knew they were going to have it. They didn't know how big it was going to be. They didn't know how many cities and countries were happening in. But that was planned. But then all of a sudden we have this big immigration thing last week. It happened again. All of a sudden there's thousands of people at airports and state houses.
With moments.
It's encouraging. It's encouraging that we're not going to take this shit lying down, you know?
I'm very excited for this part. You know, it's so hard to see any kind of silver linings in anything right now. I'm guilty of it. You know, I keep a smiling face on for my kids when they go to bed, and I just sit there like, whoa. You know, none of it seems real. But then you see these people actively protesting and getting out there, like I said, with a moment's notice about the ban. They were at the airports instantly.
Exactly.
And it does. And, you know, maybe this is the shakeup we've all needed to really band together. Like I said earlier, I'm no longer seeing myself as just this gay man. I am a minority. I want to unite with everybody. Maybe this is the great uniter. You know, I remember during even their conventions, you had Trump's convention. It was just, you know, the stadium was, one-tenth full or the arena, and it was all white people, and Clinton's was sold out, people hanging from the rafters, all colors. All groups of people, and unfortunately we lost, but we won. Like, we had more votes out. We had more people showing at conventions. And unfortunately, Donald Trump and the GOP, through Russia interference, through also just knowing who to get out to vote is what wins the elections. It's not trying to win America. Who can you scare the most to get out and make the others feel apathetic where they don't get out? And that's not a fair system. And I certainly am one of those people that thinks that voting should be mandatory once you turn 18. There shouldn't be this.
Exactly. And like in some countries, it should be a holiday so everyone is off and can go vote, has the opportunity to. So you don't have to worry about all this having to do early voting and voter suppression and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things. I don't even want to rehash the election. There was so many things wrong. I don't think Hillary was our best candidate, not on her fault, but she's been vilified for 20 years, and that was just like baked into a lot of people's minds, and so much so when all the little bullshit that happened through the Russians and through the FBI guy, it's like it turned 80,000 people. That's all she needed to do the way that we have our electoral college set up. And it pays no attention to 3 million people that don't agree with the way the country chose. So it's like it's a crazy system we have, but it's something we have to live with until we fix it. But I think we have going out and saying, we are going to fix this now.
And we need to vote. Just tell everyone, you need to vote. You can't, how many people stayed home because they thought she was going to win? Oh, I don't need to get out. She's already going to win. We're good. That we're going to vote for her. You know, they didn't see. No one saw the urgency. There was only one or two polls that said he was going to win. One was very shady, and then there was that professor guy. I forget his name. Who's like, I predict every election, no matter what. He was the other one that said you know, Trump's going to win. But, you know, everyone, oh, no, he's 99.9% chance not going to win. And, yeah, we don't need to rehash it, but it's just something to unify us. Here we were unified, and now let's just – we got to start hugging each other. We all got to start loving each other. And this immigrant ban, it's just so disturbing. It's so – it's – you know, you see people say you can't compare him to Hitler. Yeah, you can. Just because he hasn't killed 6 million Jews yet, Hitler didn't start out that way. But he's playing by the dictator handbook. They all start off this way. And now wasn't there something in the press, too, saying that they're not going to speak to CNN at all? Like, no one from his cabinet or from his organization is allowed to go on CNN now? Did you hear about that?
I believe it. I'm a huge Sunday TV watcher, and I watch – I start with Meet the Press, and then I switch over to Reliable Sources and watch Face the Nation. And every Sunday I see these people on Meet the Press, but I go over to CNN. We asked such and such to come on, and they didn't come on this week. So they've been freezing them out already, I think. But, yeah, I think there's got to be.
Yeah, and then, yeah, and oh, and in his – what I was talking about earlier, in his Black History Month speech, he kept talking about CNN being fake news. If you can get yourself – I mean, if you have a bottle of wine tonight – don't read it sober because you really don't want to do that to yourself – but read the transcript of his press conference for Black History Month, and you'll beat your head against the table. But he turned this whole Black History Month, kept turning it around about him and CNN fake news and this and it's so disturbing, it's so exhausting. And then, but
right, we're gonna brush over the cabinet. I know you got to leave pretty soon here. But we know we have.
Oh, I can be. You got me the whole hour if you want me. I can skedaddle there.
Oh, you are the best. If the girls yell at you though, don't blame me.
No, they know where their dinner comes from.
All righty. Well, let's talk a little bit about cabinet picks. Then we have, of course, we know that most of them are going to go through because we only need 51 for those. And we have it, and we had our Rex Tillerson, our oil baron, become Secretary of State today. The only good news, it looks like that DeVos is having a little trouble in education, but she's still probably going to come through because the Vice President can kind of change it over and break the tie.
Right. Well, that's hoping that every Democrat says no, because with Tillerson, we had 4 Democrats saying yes. And I did a Facebook post. Everyone remember those names and vote them out next time. We've also, you know, who was it? Was it Bill Maher? Who was like, we finally got our Tea Party. And that's what we need to be. We need to be like the Tea Party. You know, the Tea Party started from people being pissed off. Whether or not you agree with them, they were a grassroots organization that changed the party. And some of the things they were, you know, for, I wasn't against. I wasn't for the bailout, for the corporate bailouts of the banks that were too big to fail. I was like, let them fail. Someone else is going to come in and clean up the pieces. Let them fail. They're already failing. You know, with the banks getting saved and the auto managers getting saved, we were still all screwed. We still had to pay that. We had that bill, and, you know, we had to pay for it, and they didn't raise our pay afterwards. No one's making more money. It was like it was beneficial to us. It kept us unemployed at stagnant wages. But
exactly.
You know, we need to hold our Democrats accountable and say, how dare you? This is, we do not need to be approving anything. Like I said before, it's these smoke and mirrors. Oh, workplace federal protections for LGBT, I'm going to keep those. Great. That doesn't mean we should now side with him, you know.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Chuck Schumer's like, well, infrastructure, so many of these things that he wants, I'm going to go for. Yeah, you know who else believed in infrastructure? Hitler. He believed in it. That's how you get the party to build all this stuff. So I can do all these other things that you don't know what's going on.
And we have
this
World State Department.
How much infrastructure can Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. I like your point.
I said, like, how much infrastructure can Kim Jong-un keep building? You can build all these monuments you want, whether it's to a new train station or a new airport or a new bridge or just a 150-foot-tall statue of Donald Trump. Who knows what he's going to be building? But that's... You know, you got to think of the larger picture. We need infrastructure and human rights. Don't work with him on one so he can take away the other.
Exactly. Then we have, of course, that girl, the acting Secretary of State, that kind of stood up to this Muslim ban, saying that don't think that this is defendable in court, which is what they are supposed to do, partisan or not. She was part of the Obama administration holdover. She said, I don't think this is legally going to be able to be defensible in court. That's her opinion to make. Trump fires her, and this is what Sessions, who's going to be probably the worst attorney general we've ever had, he mm-hmm. went through his nomination hearing, say, would you stand up to Donald Trump if you thought something was not right? And he said, yes, I would. She does it, and Trump fires her. And now we have
right.
Sessions probably going to be confirmed today to go in and be another.
He also asked her that question during her nomination hearing, if she would stand up against the president, and she said yes to Obama. And he was like, all right, good going.
Right.
So she did what he's asked her to do. Donald Trump fires her, and the job of them is not to be like on party lines. The job is to be like, we need to watch our ass. So if we keep passing laws that we're constantly going to get sued, everyone's booted out of a job. The economy, who knows what's going to spiral out of control. We have these things to uphold. And if she's coming out and saying, this doesn't smell good, we can't do this. Because he's also throwing these executive orders at a moment's notice. It's not like she had time to look over it and be like, oh yeah, this, you can do, I don't agree with it, but yes, there's nothing constitutionally wrong with doing this. So she gets this brief and she's like, we can't enforce this we can't defend this because we don't know anything about it.
Right.
And
then there was the whisper firing that you didn't hear about. It's only been whispered in the press that he fired the head of ICE because he was a nonpartisan that dared and said how bad this thing was rolled out last week. So Trump fired him on Monday. They have a new director of the ICE, which is the immigration people.
Right.
It's like he wants his yes men. He wants everyone that's going to tell him he's a lovely, wonderful person. And it's bad policy. He doesn't care. He'll just fire the people that think it's bad policy. It's horrible.
Right. It's. I don't know where we are. I've asked friends of mine who are much, much older than me, and I was like, "This is the first like in your life. This never happened, right?" I'm like, "No." I'm like, I don't want to be accused of speaking, in hyperbole, but I know this has never happened. And
no,
I'm still surprised at how many people support him. And I know there's people in my life that support him. And yeah, I can say they're racist. I can say that their whole thing is like you can't blame a Trump supporter for being racist. Okay, you got hoodwinked before. We're 11 days in, and he's doing it. If you still support him, you really just need to own up to who you are. It's
right.
One thing before the election. I will give you that. I will give you those. I will give you that way out for up until, November 8th. You voted. You didn't like Hillary. You had spent 30 years of listening to this negative campaign against her based on lies, but you don't. Once it's out there, it's out there. And so you've had this – you've constantly been barraged by that. Maybe you watch a little Fox News. But then you heard all this stuff. You're like, I'm going to overlook that because of this person's so bad. Okay. You got the bad person you thought was so bad out, but now you've got this man who told you he was much worse than her throughout the campaign, and now he's actually keeping his word, which you thought was, oh, we don't have to take him literal. It's just the idea of what he's saying. And he's literally
right.
doing what he said he was going to do. If you're still defending that, I'm calling, quacks like a duck.
Right.
You can't hide behind,
well,
no,
like
I'm not
talking
a racist,
about my
you
mother,
are.
Bless her heart, just turned 78 years old last Tuesday, right? She's been – so I've asked her a lot of times what's going on, and she's as big a political junkie as I am. And she's of the age now where she's for years she's just mutes commercials she doesn't like. And she's going apoplectic over listening to the news now. She's a huge news watcher, and she can't stand
uh-huh.
to watch it. Just last week alone, I think it's put her halfway into the retirement home. It's just driving her – crazy, because everything is just unprecedented. The word of the day is unprecedented, boys and girls. If you haven't looked that up yet,
unprecedented. That's what it was. Unprecedented.
Yeah. That's even
word.
Better. I love that.
Yeah. It's unprecedented. I mean, I'm kind of like, I try not to, and the day of the inauguration, I kept all news off, and I turned off Facebook and Twitter, And I did go on once, like, out of, like, reflex. I was, like, doing the dishes. I was like, let me just turn it off. I was like, you turned that off. How did you get on there, you idiot? But, you know, I think it was the happiest I had been in a year, and I'm trying to stay off of it, but I can't because I feel like I have this need to be informed and know what's going on.
Yeah, we went to the casino. That's my mom's happy place. We left Friday morning, didn't come back until Friday evening after dinner because we knew it was going to be on the news all freaking weekend long. So,
right.
Yeah, we went to mom's happy place. We wouldn't even watch it.
I love that. I love that. I need to find a happy place to go to and just, but we'll try, you know. It's just, it's
Let's
I can't believe
Let's move on
it.
To our Supreme Court justice we got last night. Rolled out like a freaking model at 8 o'clock p.m.
Right.
Prime time.
Talk about a car show. It was like the new Chevy model.
Isn't that
Bells
crazy?
And whistles.
Wow. What do you think about our new guy here, Neil Gorsuch?
Well, you know, I will be honest. I don't know much about him. I think that's why he was chosen. I think he's kind of been hidden. I've done some research on him, and I'm scared. I don't know if he's going to be worse than Scalia. I don't know if anyone can be. So I am not too the court's just going to be in the balance it was in. I know he believes in religious freedom, which really scares me because let's be honest, we're not talking about religious freedom. We are talking about religious oppression when we talk about religious freedom because it's only one group of people that are allowed to have their freedom of religion. And so that really concerns me, and that's what I'm saying before I said earlier, that's where we're going to be hacking at the LGBT rights, and then it's going to be everyone else. So the Christians can say, well, I'm not going to help a Muslim. I'm not going to help a Jew. I'm not going to help this person. I can't help lepers. I know Jesus talked to them, but I'm not going to. It's against my religion, you know. So that's where we're going to spiral. So he scares me on that. But also I've heard, you know, people, the pundits talking and about, you know, is this another smoke and mirrors where, oh, he's chosen someone that's not so bad, so maybe I can retire now. And then we get hoodwinked with someone really horrible.
Right. I mean, that's kind of I think he's probably one of the most, he's a Scalia clone. He writes like Scalia. He believes in the strict interpretation of the text like Scalia. So there's not going to be anyone more conservative than him. He hasn't really done much on LGBT. He hasn't had any LGBT cases in front of him, but he did write before he was a judge that he thought that the court shouldn't be used for issues like gay marriage and things like that. That should be done by the vote and by the states. He doesn't believe that's something that a judge should rule on, which is a little scary to me.
Yeah, he doesn't believe. I love it when they say we don't believe in activist judges. Yet they all are, but unless it's their cause, then they're activists on it, right?
Right.
Wouldn't a religious freedom bill still be kind of an activist judge decision?
Exactly.
Going against the Constitution. I researched.
He was confirmed. He's been a circuit court judge, a appeals court judge for 10 years now, and he was confirmed with a 90% or 99%, 95% of the Senate, including Hillary, Barack, and Joe Biden all voted for him to be a judge at the time he was confirmed for that other thing. So the trouble I'm going to see is he is just really conservative judge, which is bad for us, but it's going to be hard for the Democrats to do a filibuster, and I really want them to because I think we were screwed royally for them holding this up for a year, and that my
it's ridiculous.
For entire year, I'm saying
Sean Spicer can go. I want to punch that man in the face because you have to listen to him have to have these press conferences. That doofus, but was talking about, you know, him and the McConnell and Mitch McConnell. He needs I don't ever want to be in a room with these people. But, you know, they're talking there out of their asses about, the Democrats are being so childish and blah, blah, blah. You've got to confirm our guy. You've got to. That's what you're supposed to do. And it's like, you said if Clinton become president, you would never approve any of her judge picks ever throughout her presidency. And you would refuse to give a hearing, a meeting, let the man speak for Garland. When he let the man speak, and the Democrats are being childish? No, I don't think so. We have real legitimate concerns. Theirs were partisan. No, we don't want, because we don't want that black guy that's in power to be able to pick another judge, because that's horrible for us old white men. And I will call racism racism when I see it. I will call anti-Semitism. I will call all of that stuff when I see it. And I'm seeing it. And I don't like it.
That's
and
the hardest thing, to be a true Democrat. I really believe in the process. And I really think that the Senate was made to have these checks and balances, that you need the 60 vote, which they're talking about going nuclear. And I'm 99% sure they'll do if the Democrats don't put this guy through. So I'm really conflicted. I mean, the guy is antithesis to everything I believe in, one on the court, but he is a good judge as far as if you were a conservative person. I mean, he judges things fairly, but he has his bent. So I'm worried that if we filibuster this and they blow up the rules to bring it to a 51 for Supreme Court justices, like you said, how scary can the next one be? Because we have these older judges going through. And what if you get someone just a whack job like he is for the next one, and they only need 51 people to get him through? So I'm really concerned.
He's going to look for his mentor, his new, he's looking for the living Ray Cohn. Like, that's who, Roy Cohn, that's who he's going to be looking for. That was his mentor growing up. You know, that's the judge he's going to be looking for. And he'll find him. And so should he be approved? I'm torn. Like I said, I think we're just replacing the same guy with the same guy. And we did get, with Scalia in there, we did get a lot of progressive things happening and a lot of, judgments that they used judgment in their rulings.
Right.
But I'm scared. I'm just scared for the future. Now, if someone can hold out and we can take back the Senate and Congress and really take them back in 2 years, then, then some people can start retiring, because whoever you put up isn't going to pass muster.
Right.
If we can get that, if we can get that vast majority that we need, the majority that can block everything.
I like your opinion on everything. I love you, and I want you to have you on every single week. We're going to have to find you your own radio show or get you back monthly for this. Thanks for coming on. I need to make sure the girls eat. I'm concerned.
What did you say?
I said, I'm concerned. I want to make sure the girls eat, so I'm going to have to wrap this up here.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I would be happy to come back anytime. I love the ranting and raving. My children, I know they're 4 and 6, and they're sick of me talking about this stuff. So,
well, real quick for everyone, all my listeners at home, if they want to follow you, do have some great political insights on Facebook. And to give everyone your social media so they can find you.
So, yeah, look up Gaetano Jones. I have a fan page, and which is more of the singing stuff, which, I haven't been – I've been working on a new album, so I haven't been posting a lot on there. And then I have my regular Gaetano Jones, just my person page. And then also I have a blog out called daddyohm.com, O-M, not O-H-M, .com, and where I'm talking about little insights about parenting and the funny stories about me and the girls. And I have taken a little hiatus from that because of the election and Christmas. I'm swinging back in, and I will definitely have some political posts in that blog, but not for to just be politics, but as the politics pertain to raising a family. So it's not going to be so soapboxy, but a little bit more informative and eye opening, and maybe people will think about things differently, give them another aspect to make their judgments.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Stay on the line for me. We're going to play a little bit. Let's keep in the Sam Harris mode and do War on War, because we are just not going to take this baloney anymore in Washington. Stay on the line for me. Guys, we've been listening to the fantastic actor and singer Gaetano Jones right here on Standing on the Soapbox. I'll be back to wrap it up in just a couple of minutes.
There's a war on drugs and a war on crime. They say Jesus wants a war to wipe out Darwinism. There's so many wars messing messing up my mind. And most of all, you got your war of wars on terrorism. You say the American way is what we're fighting for, but I'm sick of the spin you put me in, so I declare a war. You tell me who to love and how to live and what to pray to. Can you kill and fight? 'Cause you say you must. Depends on who we like and who we hate and who we pay to. You say the American way is what we're fighting for, but I'm sick of the lies you still deny. So I declare a war on war.
With War on War. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to Standing on My Soapbox today. I was so excited to have Gaetano as my co-host. Really wish you guys would give a call in. Love to hear what you guys are thinking. Again, 347-989-0126. I'm going to wrap this up a little quickly. He had to go take care of the kids there. A couple of things on pop culture I wanted to get to real quick before we sign off. Of course, this Sunday, we have happening the Super Bowl, which I like to call the Lady Gaga concert, of course. That's happening this Sunday, so that'll be fun for some commercials and some Gaga. It was just announced today that Beyonce and Jay-Z are expecting again with twins, so that's kind of a little pop culture news for all you gay boys who just go crazy when Beyonce releases something, and all of our straight allies, of course, as well. And last thing I'll list you with, I was going to go on a talk about TV, pop culture and TV. There's such great LGBT characters on TV this season. And I was going to do a whole segment. I think I'll wait till next week when I have another co-host who can do a little longer here. But with some of the fun news today was Terry Hatcher, who was on Desperate Housewives, and of course was Lois Lane in the Lois and Clark show with Dean Cain back in the day, is going to be joining the cast of Supergirl for an arc on the CW, on a story arc. So that's going to be kind of fun to see Lois Lane on Supergirl. I'm not sure she's playing Lois Lane. I don't even know what character she's playing yet. But just she was announced to have a couple episode arc. That's exciting. And then it was confirmed, I believe, last week, the week before, that there is going to be, with something that I've asked for since the beginning, a crossover Supergirl Flash musical episode. That is just going to be freaking off the chain. I'm so excited for this. If you know me, I love myself a good singing musical. One of my favorite television episodes ever was singing was Buffy's. Buffy the Vampire did a couple of great ones on there. There's been a couple other shows that have done some great musical episodes that have just broken out in song. But they're going to do a singing crossover with The Flash and Supergirl. Of course, Supergirl herself, Melissa Benoist, was in Glee. She was in the last season of Glee as part of the new class there. And you have Jeremy Jordan, who's of course a Broadway sensation from Newsies and Bonnie and Clyde and so many great things. So you have two amazing singers just right there, and I'm sure the rest of them can sing. But you have down the Flash side, of course, you have the Flash, Barry Allen, which is Grant Gustin. He was in Glee for a couple of seasons as the bad guy, Sebastian, who tried to steal Kurt's boyfriend away from him. Derek's, and I guess the bad guy in this series that's going to be the coolest thing, I think the nemesis for the episode is going to be Darren Criss from Glee, another singer. And, of course, you have Jesse, why am I forgetting his name? The guy that plays the dad in Flash, from Rent, who originated Tom Collins in Rent. And so he's in – Victor Garber is, of course, now on the Guardians of the Universe – or the Legends of Tomorrow – But he started out on Flash. I'm hoping he'll come back for this musical episode. So I'm like stoked finding out about this. That could be a lot of fun. But next week we'll go into all the LGBT characters on TV because we're getting ready for pretty soon. I might hold off a little bit on that. But thanks for tuning in. Please follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Left of Straight, LeftOfStr, and the number 8. On Facebook, you can look at our page, The Left of Straight Show, or you can follow me personally at Scott Fullerton. And if you miss any episode of The Left of Straight Show, our Standing on the Soapbox Today, our new show, Voices of Change, which is a great show about mental health advocates on Saturdays, and pretty soon we're going to have our Rust Belts and Rainbows, a local LGBT show, you can get it on our app absolutely free. You can download the app from your iPhone or your Android app store. Just type in Left of Straight Radio and you'll see it come up. Tap on it. It's a free app download. You'll never miss an episode of anything. Play it whenever you feel like, on your phone, on your iPod, on your iPad, whatever you have going on. So thanks so much for being part of Left of Straight Show and today's Standing on My Soapbox. We'll be back next week, Monday and Tuesday, with two new superstar celebrity guests interviews. And on Wednesday, I'm going to have actor Michael Vega standing on my soapbox with me next week. So it's going to be a fun time had by all. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you on Saturday for Voices for Change. This is Scott Fullerton signing out. Bye-bye.